And welcome to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor, and we're going to be talking later in the show to the publisher of Baraka Books, Robin Philpott. Want to talk about all the activity, the demonstrations that have been going on around the world. The fact that we have focused the world's attention now on basically one conflict zone, and it's very important that we talk about how Canadians are reacting and others. First of all, I want to make sure I say that the interview given by President Biden, who is, of course, Canada's president, he's also the leader of the unipolar world, I'll bet it was the White House that asked for the interview with 60 Minutes. Because he's introduced a whole new list of issues in the way he answered. Of course, his answers were almost monosyllabic, basically what they call talking point answers to questions. But he did address some matters which are going to impact on what happens now in Gaza and between Israel and the Lebanon, Syria. The most important feature of this, in my view, is that we're seeing a challenge here to the unipolar system of addressing issues in the Middle East between Arab states and the West. And we're watching, actually, the unipolar approach, which every day a major American leader visits to Israel. And allegedly, this is going to somehow help. Sending, for example, not one, but I think two aircraft carriers into the Eastern Mediterranean. The message is, well, we're here and we're going to assert ourselves. The suggestion being that any resolution will be handled by Washington. And when we talk about the confrontation, the violence, and the atrocities, footnote, I always say that on this show, you cannot do politics by reference to atrocities, because you can cite them, but but it has to be toward a resolution. What will bring an end to atrocities? And there's no shortage of them, and I know it's very competitive as to who has suffered the most and will suffer the most. But what I noticed in the Biden interview was that he said, the way that New York Times and others played it, he said an occupation of Gaza by the Israeli army would be a big mistake. And he repeated it, it'd be a big mistake. At the same time, he created a paradox because he said the Israelis should take out or destroy or fight Hamas. And so how do you do that? And I think you can almost tell in the way headlines and discourse is orchestrated that they say Israel war on Hamas, but the bombs are falling on Gaza. And the people of Gaza, as by the way, President Biden said in the 60 Minutes interview, the people of Gaza are not Hamas, that you can't speak of them as one thing. He would know. I mean, he's known everybody in the whole neighborhood for more than 40 years. And, of course, he could have said this earlier, but when he does that, when he says these things, it seems to me he's taking charge of the narrative And he is making and declaring the situation in Gaza a humanitarian issue, which it is. But he further, I was interested in how he got into details. He said that he was asked directly if Iran, that would be the Islamic Republic, if they were involved. And he said, no, not to his, he had no intelligence that would say so. And when I repeat what he said, I would point out that discussions of what they know are political. They can, 2 days from now, he can tell you that he knows something else. So it was a political message to say that, no, he doesn't, U.S. intelligence doesn't have any evidence of involvement by Iran. That's a message that he doesn't want to see the government of Israel react to by setting the groundwork for an attack that would lead to a wider war, or particularly a war with Iran. So I thought that was, it's the old thing of sifting tea leaves. But another issue, and we're hearing that the army of Israel is mounting, gathering for an incursion, an assault, I don't know what. Certainly it's horrific, the idea. It does involve population transfer, which is inhumane, and it's also illegal. But that is, some have talked about that. But he also, we're being told today, President Biden himself, the leader of the unipolar world, he has vassals in Paris, he has vassals in London, he has vassals in Ottawa. He's talking about going there to visit, and he said he had an invitation from Netanyahu. I would be surprised if they were to launch anything resembling a heavy military or open a heavy military encounter while hosting the President of the United States. I would think that the Pentagon would tell him that President, that it would not be a good time for him to be circulating there. We'll see if he does. But all this is more interesting. As I say, you have to kind of read between the lines. When people like Biden talk, you have to say when he's changing the message. And there was the other matter that was raised, and actually this is at the core of our problem. The 60 Minutes reporter said to him, well, we're currently financing a war in Ukraine, and we're supplying weapons and billions of dollars, and there are members of the United States Congress who are starting to show they're not too enthusiastic. He didn't say further that Poland, Hungary, Slovakia are also indicating that they think that this is not a wise process, not a smart war, and they're beginning to indicate that they're going to be bailing out at some point. So at any rate, he was asked, okay, now you have this very expensive operation going in Ukraine. Now you're talking about further arming and committing billions of dollars to Israel to bulk it up and to make it so that they're never short of any weapon. By the way, I don't remember a day in my lifetime when they were short of anything, but there's talk about and making sure they have enough and more. His answer, should any Canadian who really cares about having an independent Canadian policy, should be chilled by what they heard, because he said, Oh, come on, my God, he said, we're the greatest, we're the most strongest, we're the most powerful country in history. And then he repeated it, in history, leaned toward his interlocutor, said, in history, we're the most powerful. And we can do this. And I understand it was seconded by his Secretary of Commerce, I guess she is, Yellen. Miss Yellen, and she said, oh yeah, we can afford it. But you know, he said, we're the most powerful country in history, he didn't, you'll notice, he didn't answer the question, which is, can we afford it? Saying you're the most powerful doesn't mean you can afford it. And I thought that was, you know, fun to think about. Because all he's doing is making this really statement. It reminded me of Walt Whitman's really odd, terrible line in one of his poems where he says, speaking as an American Democrat, that was, Whitman thought we were, he was part of that evangelizing idea that America would spread its great stuff all over the world. He said, I sound my barbaric yawp all over the world, to the world, my barbaric yawp. When Biden says we're the most powerful country, actually, you know, for anybody with the slightest sense of irony, whatever, humor, would say that could be famous last word. And again, he didn't actually answer the question, can the U.S. afford this? But he did. That was his answer. And Canadians ought to be thinking about a world in which somebody other than Joe Biden will decide what happens in the Middle East. And speaking of which, today, President Putin of Russia spoke with Benjamin Netanyahu, and he said... that there has to be a cessation of the violence. Civilians have to be protected. No one should harm civilians. And that the Palestine matter has to be brought to a satisfactory, balanced solution. And he also told the president of Israel, I think it's a president, prime minister, he said, he was the prime minister. He said he'd been speaking to the president of Iran. He told him he'd been speaking to president of Egypt. He told him he'd been speaking to the leader of Saudi Arabia. He listed a number of these. That was part of the recorded, you know, they do this, and sometimes it's interesting who the leaders are talking to. So today, Putin was speaking to Netanyahu and saying there had to be a resolution, political one, and that he, but further, the fact that he told him he had been talking to the leader of Iran, that's very significant in my view. And it's a message of a multinational and United Nations approach to solving problems. Further to this, I thought the most striking comment internationally was from the leader, the foreign minister, Wang Yi, of China. You probably know China is a kind of an important country. It has a dynamic economy. It is a rapidly developing country. It is a major power. And they have, over the years, past decades, been relatively quiet about the subject of the Middle East and the various issues there. But Wang Yi said, what this tells us, the Gaza crisis tells us, is that there must be a Palestinian state, and that it must have a capital in Jerusalem, and it must be a member of the United Nations, a sitting member of the UN. That is that's coming from China. They are on the Security Council. Of course, Russia is on the Security Council. So are we going to have a unipolar world run by Americans who fly in and out of one small country? And, well, they always visit. They also call the king of Jordan because they own him. But if we, you notice who they don't call. The majority of Arab states, actually. The U.S. is down to a handful of people that they can visit in the Middle East without being severely criticized. But the idea of sending U.S. high, like Blinken, now Biden's talking about going, General Austin went there, to Israel, as a way to bring about a political resolution to the crisis, I think that day is gone. We'll find out. We're going to live through quite a period here. But clearly, the only instrument we have internationally is the United Nations, and it has a charter. And if they would go into that arena, it could be solved. But it's going to take other countries than the one run by the United States, the most powerful country in the world, as he says, which is an insult to every other country, actually, in the world. So anyway, this is the Taylor Report. We're going to take a brief break, and we're going to come back and talk to Robin Philpott. Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. In a couple of minutes we have, I want to just mention I was reviewing Biden, which is fun. He said something else in his interview. He said, I think we're going to have to find a path to statehood for the Palestinians. I have not heard an American president say that for a while. Actually, when we had Trump and his son-in-law, they said, forget it. So apparently, they want to take it out of mothballs. It's too late, I would say, by the way. They're going to have to write a whole new agreement. The other thing he commented on, which was a big faux pas in my view, well, not a faux pas, it was deliberate confusion. He spoke of Hamas and Hezbollah, but they're not at all the same organizations. And when Hamas was under attack, Hezbollah was under attack in 2006, Hamas didn't support them. Hamas was participated in the struggle against President Assad of Syria. So Assad survived and Hamas changed his view. So remember, these are political entities at the end of the day. But they're not the same thing at all. He was irresponsible because Hezbollah is in the country of Lebanon. Lebanon is a subject unto itself. And to throw it in and tie it to another country and organization is deliberate, in my view, disinformation on the part of the president. And, you know, when you see a guy like Biden and you say, oh, who needs to listen? I thought I'd ignore it. But then I started listening and I was noticing that he was wobbling. And if he's planning to go, he said he's been invited and they say he'll go next week to visit Israel. That would mean to me that they're going to hold off on the incursion. If they don't, I think his advisors would tell him this is probably not a good time. So you call your friend, you say, can I come over? And he says, this is not a good time. All right. This is the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5. And we'll see you next week.